You're listening to the Home Staging Show podcast. I'm your host, Cindy Lin. This is a podcast where we talk about all things real estate, home staging, and styling your home to live and to sell. Welcome back to season 6. This is episode 6. Our show is brought to you by our in-house product, EcoJoe, the eco-friendly St. Joseph statue home selling kit. In real estate, there's a tradition to bury St. Joseph statues for good luck. But because the existing products on the market were made with plastic, we made an eco-friendly version named EcoJoe. He's all natural, won't harm the earth. We're currently having a 50% off sale on our website. For more information, you can visit www.ecojoekits.com. That's spelled ecojoekits.com. This podcast is also brought to you by our Cash in the Cushions business courses for home stagers. If you're thinking about getting into the home staging business and not sure where to start, our Level 1 Launcher program is designed for those of you who are thinking about venturing into the home staging industry. This 90-page workbook clarifies frequently asked questions about starting a home staging business. It's also going to help you navigate the waters of the marketplace so you can avoid the common slip-ups. Our signature course, a six-figure floor plan, is designed to be a business in a box where I help you take all the kinks and guesswork out of building a profitable home staging business. We have one module a week for 6 weeks. You're also going to have the opportunities to ask questions and get support in our weekly office hours and private community. You can also upgrade the program by adding on a coaching package where you're going to receive additional support for your business after our course finishes. So in this jam-packed online course, we're going to go over systems, contracts, pricing, proposals, inventory, marketing, technology, and everything you'll need to start getting clients and book yourself solid. I'm going to show you the behind the scenes of how I have built my home staging business from the ground up, which includes using worksheets, systems, scripts, and workflow that I've developed to build my business and also test it through my home staging business. You're also going to be able to see my pricing proposals, contracts, and basically every template I've ever created and used in my six-figure home staging business. The course goes live on August 6th, and the seats are limited, especially the coaching package. You can find out more information about the course by going to our website at stagefmore.com/six-figure-floor-plan. Hey guys, welcome back to season 6, episode 6. For the next 3 episodes, we're going to have 3 top producing real estate agents on the show. I'm super excited to have Gina Piper on the show today. Since 2003, she has been ranked in the top 1% of realtors in the nation. And that is an incredible accomplishment. She has served her community in the Tri-Valley area of San Francisco Bay Area for more than 20 years. She's incredibly experienced and passionate about real estate, and it really comes through during her interview. She was able to squeeze us in today during a very busy sales season. So I hope you really enjoy today's show.
So thank you so much for coming on our show, Gina. I know you're super busy, so I really appreciate you coming on the show. Can you tell us a little bit about your real estate business? How did you get started, and how long have you been a real estate agent?
Sure. So I have been in the business for 22 years, and I'm a real estate broker. I've been with the same company my entire career. I started right out of college. I graduated from Cal Poly and I actually took the classes that I needed to take while I was still in college and then got my license immediately following. I did grow up around the business, although I didn't really like the business while I was growing up around the business. My family was in the business, but I ended up here anyway and have had a wonderful career. I'm very, very grateful to have the good fortune of wonderful clients and a fantastic community that supports me. So that's kind of me in a nutshell.
That's amazing. And so what is your local market like?
So local market, I'm in the Tri-Valley area, which is comprises of 5 cities, Pleasanton, Livermore, Dublin, San Ramon, and Danville. We are on the 580-680 interchange, so it makes us unique in a commute from a commute standpoint as far as going to either San Francisco commuting or to the South Bay. Our market is very, very hot right now, although the high end has slowed down dramatically. A lot of the high end homes are sitting on the market, but anything up to about $1.2 million or $3 million typically gets multiple offers if the home is priced right, oftentimes selling for over asking price. And the reason that we are desirable is obviously from a commuting standpoint, but also the schools are very, very highly rated in Pleasanton and most of the Tri-Valley. Pleasanton has a charming historic downtown. Livermore also has a wonderful downtown and Danville as well. So for all those reasons, the area is very desirable. We see quite a spillover from South Bay. Although our prices are quite high here, they're affordable when you compare them to the Silicon Valley, South Bay market. And so we get a lot of people that are moving here for the schools and the community. However, they're commuting to the South Bay.
Well, yeah, the real estate crazy, the real estate market is pretty crazy now, I would say.
Yeah,
I think
for sure.
Because all the growth that Silicon Valley has recently.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of times people have misconceptions about what real estate agents do exactly. So
mm-hmm.
What kind of service do you provide? Like, what is the process like? So when the sellers start calling you, they say, hey, I'm thinking about putting my home on the market. What is the process like that you take them through the entire selling process?
Sure. So I think that when you mentioned as a seller, so if a seller calls, I think that each agent is certainly different in what they offer as far as their services for listing a home. For me, I enjoy working with both buyers and sellers, but for sellers, I really enjoy it because it allows me to pull my creativity out and do marketing on the home and that sort of thing. And so if I take a new listing, obviously, I shouldn't say obviously, but because a lot of agents may not, but I always professionally stage my listings. So whether it's vacant or occupied, I do bring my professional stagers in and stage the home. And then I have my professional photographer come in and do photos, interior, exterior. Oftentimes we do aerial shots with a drone. And for some of my higher end listings, we do a video. But for some of the higher end listings, we do this really incredible video, sometimes using actors in the video for the home, bringing in a lot of lifestyle to the video as well. A lot of people focus on just the home, but I focus a lot on the actual lifestyle. So when you buy, for example, a home in Pleasanton, you're buying lifestyle as well. You're buying schools and the downtown and community and all that. So in the videos, you see lots of drone video work of golf courses and farmers market and downtown and restaurants and that sort of thing. So so that's kind of the fun part for me when representing a seller is doing these high-end videos and high-end photography and doing a lot of marketing online. We do print marketing as well, but we really push and push for the online marketing because really that's where the buyers are finding the homes. When I first got into real estate many years ago, the buyers relied on their realtors to find homes. So they would typically choose a weekend day to go out and the realtor would pick, you know, 5 or 6 homes to look at that they thought would match the buyer's needs and they would go view the homes. Now that doesn't happen at all. Now the buyers go online and they find the homes that they want to take a look at and they call their realtor and say, these are the homes that we want to see. And so the presence of your listing online has to be fantastic because it is the first impression now. The curb appeal is wonderful, but that's not the first impression. The first impression comes from the presence online and buyers seeing that and then deciding they want to go see it at an open house or call their realtor.
That sounds amazing. And so what are some of the things that – it sounds like you have professionals that come and do everything. So how much legwork are the sellers doing before they put their homes on the market?
It depends. So I will go in and make the recommendations such as painting. Maybe we want to paint everything to neutral colors or touch-up painting. You know, maybe the painting is great colors, but now we want to touch up because there's lots of scuffs on the wall or the baseboards are in bad shape or that sort of thing. So repairs, I have all the inspections done ahead of time so we know if there are some repairs that we need to make prior to going on the market. So I give a list of things for the seller to do. Also, I have them remove a lot of things from the home so that my stagers can come in and do their magic to the home. We don't make, in the case that the home is occupied, we certainly don't make it unlivable. You know, if family time and watching TV in the evening is what the family likes to do, then obviously we keep the TV in the room and we sort of stage around that. But I basically say to the seller, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, or you know, maybe it's a single person, here's what I want you to do to the home. Here's my ideal list of things. But really, it's up to them if they do all of those things, some of those things, or none of those things. I let them know that the more of these things that you can do on this list, the higher the price we will likely get because the home will show at its very best. So they do have some work to do as well. But my people come in and do quite a bit of the work as far as the staging goes.
That sounds really amazing. I think this is like an ideal scenario, I think. I think sometimes there are resistance when sellers have, because for them it's like they just keep seeing money going out the door. They have to pay for inspection, they have to pay for updating the home and stuff like that. So if the seller has resistance about home staging, having the seizures come in, what do you tell them or talk to them about in regards to how this can benefit their sale?
Sure, that's a great question. I don't run into sellers resisting staging too often, but every once in a while I do, and I show them pictures of a staged home versus an unstaged home, and I can show examples, and that's pretty easy to do, pull off MLS, what one home sold for that wasn't staged and a similar home sold for that is staged. But not price isn't top of everybody's priority list. Most people, most sellers do want top dollar for their home, but not every seller. And so it really is their choice. And I explain to them, we really, to get top dollar, these are the things that we need to do to the home. If top dollar is not important to you and you really don't want staging and that sort of thing, that's totally okay. There's nothing wrong with that as long as I feel like I've explained properly that in order to achieve the highest the highest possible price, these are the things that we need to do.
That's totally understandable. I think, yeah, especially we never know what sellers are dealing with. There might be emotional issues behind money, for example, or emotional attachment to the home.
Yes.
When it comes to emotional attachment to the home, have you encountered that, and how do you deal with it?
Emotional attachments.
Yeah, because we come across that from a stager point of view, actually, pretty often, that's where we see resistance come in. Like,
sure.
Especially in occupied staging, where the seller is like, "No, I don't want you to move the stuff." I've worked with, I think more senior, I think populations usually they're a little bit more attached to their home.
Sure.
So they
that makes sense.
Sometimes,
now.
Sometimes they unconsciously kind of sabotage your own sale in a way because they don't
sure.
want to change.
That's a great question, and I now see where you're going with that. I think I don't run across that too often, but really every sale is an emotional sale. It is to the seller and to the buyer. So one thing when one of my clients is selling their home and they have children, I often tell them, let's not do anything to the kids' rooms.
Mm-hmm.
It's an emotional thing for the kids to move as well, and it can be a really big deal for them. Lots of changes going on. You know, maybe it's a divorce, and so the kids are going through that as well. And so the last thing you want to do is disrupt their space, their little bedrooms with all their photos and posters on the wall. So I'm very sensitive when it comes to children and staging their rooms. Sometimes the seller says, oh, no big deal, we're fine doing anything you want to the kids' rooms. Well, then in that case, great. But I start out by saying we don't have to do the kids' rooms if you guys don't want to. Selling a home is very emotional on the kids, and so I'm perfectly fine with not staging those rooms and letting the kids have the rooms the way they typically have them, as long as they can try to keep them as tidy as possible. So that's one thing. Mostly I don't get too much resistance, but I basically say we're going to go to the level that you're comfortable with as far as staging. Ultimately, I want to stage it, you know, completely, but I'm willing to go to whatever level the seller is at emotionally. And sometimes, you know, like the family room, they want their enormous sectional in there with the TV, and that's totally fine. We don't want to disrupt the whole family. We want the house to be livable, but we also want it to be staged. But definitely taking down all the personal photos from the walls and that sort of thing, and allowing the stagers to put their art up, that makes a big difference as well. And oftentimes when the home is on the market and we get offers, oftentimes buyers write letters, and those go a long way. It's really interesting. A lot of times the seller will say, I don't want to read the letters, this is a business decision. And then they read the letters from the buyers and get really caught up in the emotion of that too, because these people raised their family in this house maybe. And so the buyer is talking about wanting to raise their family in the house. So it becomes very emotional, which is kind of nice, because we're not talking about investment property. We're talking about someone's personal residence, and that's a big deal. And it's an emotional sale for sure.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really sweet thing to do actually for buyer's letters. It might not necessarily work, but I think it's really nice. If the seller is looking for more than just money, they're also looking for emotional connection as well.
Yes.
Because
uh-huh.
It's so disheartening sometimes where when we go through the process of selling, and then you see the homeowner really love their home, they really cherish
mm-hmm.
it, and then the investor
yes.
bought it, they just knock it all down. And so it's just
yes.
like, oh.
Yes, totally. That's so true.
Yeah. And so it sounds like you stage pretty much almost every listing.
Yes, I do.
And so how has home staging changed your business model?
Say that again. You broke up a little bit.
Oh, sorry. So how has home staging changed your business model? Because I think home staging is more popular now than compared to when you first started in real estate, correct?
That is true. I used to not stage my homes many years ago, but staging has made an enormous impact, I think, on my business, and an enormous impact on what the seller gets for the price of their home. It's amazing how much more you can get when the home is really nicely staged. And you know, there's all different types of staging. Lots of realtors stage it themselves, and that's fine if they're really good at that and they have furniture and all the art and that sort of thing. But I think there's a big difference between a professional staging job and a not so professional staging job. So I think it's changed the business, and it's changed my business, and it's been had a wonderful impact for sellers and for me.
That's amazing. I think it's really great to speak to somebody like you who really has incorporated staging into part of their business model. From a stager point of view, we know it works. It's a marketing presentation as well. Like, we want to put our best foot forward. But
mm-hmm.
some clients are not very open to it, and then or they're like, oh, my God, it's another check that I have to sign.
Sure.
And so as a seller's and buyer's agent, what are some of the marketing trends that you're seeing right now in the market?
Well, I'm going to back up on just one little thing that you
yeah,
mentioned about the seller writing another check. Maybe that is why I'm not getting the resistance that maybe some other people get. That is a service I provide. So I pay for the staging. Yeah, so that might be why I'm not getting the resistance. That is something that professional staging, professional photography, that is all stuff that I provide to a seller as my own cost. And very, very little pushback on my end and a huge impact for the seller in the long run based on what they net. So it's a pretty easy sell for me, you know, because I'm not trying to get them to pay for it.
That's really amazing. So do you have basically an in-house stager that you work with all the time, or you have a few different stagers that depending on your needs for
yes.
your listing? Okay.
Good question. I do. No one in-house. I do work with typically two different stagers. I actually want to expand and have one more. We're really busy and sometimes I can't get my stager when I need mm-hmm. them. But one particular stager I use a majority of the time.
I see. That's really cool to hear about because I always am wondering about business models and stuff in real estate. And with our interviews, sometimes I've interviewed people with their in-house stager. Like we interviewed a stager where she works for a top-producing team and all she does is write consultation reports and go to business for the seller with the sellers uh-huh. and then uh-huh. tell them exactly what they need to do. Mm-hmm. And they have a stager as well that just does staging. So I think
uh-huh.
it's really interesting,
interesting
to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see what are some of the different business models, how staging and real estate agents are working together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And do buyers always want a turnkey home, you think?
It depends on the market. So in this market, I am seeing turnkey being a priority more so than in past markets that we've been through. And why I see that, I think, is because of the type of buyer that is buying a majority of the homes in our area right now. Oftentimes they are, if it's a family that's moved in, oftentimes it's a two-income family. So these people are working. Both people in the household are working and commuting, and they want low maintenance. They want to be able to purchase the home ready to go, everything done, and they don't need to do any work to it. Plus, the prices are so high right now that investors, it's a harder market for investors to come in and buy fixer-uppers and turn them around and make money. Mm-hmm. So turnkey, yes, that is what a lot of buyers in our area are looking for right now.
So what are some of the biggest lessons you've learned as a real estate agent being in the business for the last 20 years?
Oh, my gosh. Biggest lessons. Oh, I wish I knew this question ahead of time. That is such a good question. I'll tell you, there's been a lot of lessons I've learned over the years, and oftentimes it has to do with me, you know, shutting my mouth, not saying something that I maybe shouldn't have said, or offering up my opinion, you know, especially when I work with a buyer. I typically, this isn't really I'm not sure this is a lesson that I've learned, but I typically am very brutally honest about the negatives of any house that mm-hmm. I'm showing a buyer, you know, especially if a buyer is showing interest in the house. I like to point out all the negative things too, so that they really go in making a decision with their eyes wide open. But when it comes to likes or dislikes, I try to now not give my opinion on style and that sort of thing, because that has kind of come back to bite me in the past, where I've given my opinion on style and my goodness, that's my style, not theirs. So why would I even offer up my opinion on something like that? Because it can be offensive, you know, everybody has their own style. So that would probably be one lesson. Yeah. I'd have to
that's
think about more, but I know there's a lot.
No, but I think if you ask some of the stagers, been in business a long time, myself included, it always really is about how to talk to clients, like how to communicate.
Yes.
But sometimes we mean one thing and they can take it maybe a different way.
Sure.
You just never know.
Yes.
And what are some of the trends that you're seeing in the market right now?
Well, I mentioned, I think, a couple. The biggest, well, obviously the high end is slowing way down. A trend that we're seeing is South Bay spillover. So a lot of people are buying in our area for the schools, the community, but are commuting. They're taking on pretty big commutes to live in this area. So I would say that's definitely a trend. Turnkey homes, being able to purchase a home and be able to move right in and not have to do any work. That's certainly a trend as well. Our inventory is starting to grow. I think in the next couple of weeks, our inventory may as much as double in our area.
Wow.
So that's pretty interesting. I think a lot of, well, school getting out obviously being one thing, but a lot of sellers thinking, are we at the peak? Because this is crazy what we are going through right now, this market and low inventory. And and gosh, we should put our house on the market. And so I definitely see inventory going way up in the next, well, I shouldn't say way up, but a fair amount up. So yeah, I certainly see that trend as well.
In your opinion, what is the number one cause that a house doesn't sell?
Overprice, 100%, no doubt about it. Any house can sell. It all comes down to price. I mean, we can do all the wonderful things that we do with professional staging and photography and all that kind of stuff. But if the home's not priced right, now more than ever, because buyers are so savvy, they're smart. They know, you know, they have everything at their fingertips to look to see if a home is priced right or not. So the ones that are overpriced sit, and they end up getting less than, typically these listings end up getting less than what their true value would have been if they listed it correctly in the beginning. So yeah, that would be my number one reason.
That's amazing. I feel like sometimes sellers need to really hear that, because I think there's a joke in real estate, right? Sellers always see themselves, their home, as like a castle, but
right.
Like how real estate agencies are very different.
Yes, totally.
Yeah. And so what is the number one tip you'll give to a homeowner who is thinking about putting their home on the market?
The number one tip I would say is to do your research on the agent that ultimately you are picking. You know, these days, the consumer or the seller is savvy and they are interviewing multiple agents. But I would say that make sure that the agent that is going to represent you has a big toolbox with all of these great tools, such as stagers on hand and professional photography and the right online avenues to market and all that kind of stuff. And just doing your homework on realtors is, I think, important.
That's so great. Thank you so much for being on the show today. I really appreciate it.
It was my pleasure. I was happy and honored to be with you today.
Yeah, I really appreciate it.
Hey, so that's it for the show today. Thank you so much for listening. If you have a moment, please do leave us a review and rating on iTunes. That's going to help other people to find us. As usual, if you have any questions, just ask in our private Facebook group. You can post pictures, ask about questions, even share the progress you have with your own host staging projects. So that's it. Have a wonderful week and happy staging.